This is Campus Journal, program number 791 for Monday, May 10, 1993. 4, 3, 2, 1. Hi, this is Monday's entry in the Campus Journal, and Cindy's eyes were gleaming just like her new ring as she told her Sunday school class about her engagement and about Bear, her fiancé. But, you know, even as she told her friends the news, her main topic of conversation wasn't the wedding. She was more concerned with telling her friends about how the Lord had been working in her life. You see, as long as she could remember, Cindy had had a spiritual hunger. And though she'd enjoyed the rituals of her former religious tradition, well, they just didn't satisfy her. So she joined an intervarsity group on her campus, and she began to understand the gospel, and she opened her life to Jesus Christ. However, in her eagerness to do spiritual things, she got involved in a cult. But in time, she realized that the book this cult was using and the demands it made on her, well, they just weren't biblical. And so she backed away from that and got connected with a Bible-teaching church and began to grow again. She says right now she's about a first grader in the faith. And she said her fiancé at this point is what she calls a spiritual toddler. He knows very little about the Bible or the Christian life. And so Cindy's decided that she's going to help him. Using some literature her pastor gave her, she's walking with him through the basics of what it means to be a Christian. And you know, when I heard about Cindy, I thought about you and wondered where you are in your spiritual life. Are you growing rapidly, or have you stopped growing? Do you know enough about the Bible to detect error? Well, let me encourage you to follow Cindy's example. And who knows, maybe you'll find that the best way to grow in Christ is to help someone else grow in the faith. And that's Monday's entry in the Campus Journal. For a free copy of our printed CJ booklet, just call toll-free 1-800-653-7221. I'm Brian Hedding. Thanks for listening today, and I'll see you tomorrow. Hi, this is Tuesday's entry in the Campus Journal. And, you know, we live in a love-crazy world, don't we? Just flip on the radio and you hear songs about real love and endless love, forbidden love, and other love tunes that people just love to sing along with. A glimpse at a recent pop rock top 10 list revealed that 9 out of the 10 songs on the list that week were about, you guessed it, L-O-V-E, love. Now, some of the lyrics of these songs are pretty silly, and sadly, some are perverted in their graphic detail. Today's love songs may be about commitment, but commitment only to one's personal desire. And so it's no wonder that so many people are so confused about what the L word means. But I'll tell you one thing, you won't get an accurate idea about what love means by listening to the local rock station. Now, to get a true picture of love, we need to look at what God says about it. And in the Bible, it's recorded that Jesus said that love and obedience go hand in hand. He made it clear that if we don't seek to obey God, then we really don't love Him. Without obedience, our relationship to Him falls short. Jesus said, "Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me." That's John 14:21. You see, when it comes to loving God, no syrupy, sentimental love songs can express what it takes. To love God is to obey Him. So if you've been saying that you love God, yet you really don't think it's any big deal whether you obey or don't obey His guidelines for living, listen again to Jesus' words in John 14. He said, "Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he's the one who loves me." Maybe those words are suggesting we better change our tune. Something to think about in our Tuesday entry in the Campus Journal. And if you'd like a copy of our monthly CJ booklet with entries for each day, just call 1-800-653-7221, and we'll send you one free of charge. I'm Brian Hedding. Thanks for listening, and I'll see you tomorrow. Hi, this is Wednesday's entry in the Campus Journal. And, you know, different times of the year, entertainment awards are really a big deal, aren't they? I was doing some work on today's Radio Campus Journal entry, the day of the Grammy Awards back in February. They had live reports in the morning news programs and headline news at a different feature, man, every half hour about some artist or composer. But you know what my comment is on these award things? Big deal, really. How important are the Grammy Awards in the overall scheme of things? Just remember, the best new artist 3 years ago was Milli Vanilli. Now, I don't mean to break Billy Ray Cyrus's achy-breaky heart, but awards like these are really soon forgotten. The previous year's winners fade from memory pretty quickly. However, preserved for us in the Bible are heroes of a different kind. Through their faith in God, these individuals have the honor of being mentioned in what's been called God's Hall of Fame in Hebrews chapter 11. And not only that, their legacy is the Christian faith that we believe in today. So let me encourage you to read today Hebrews chapter 11 in the Bible. And as you do, realize that these people share qualities that God values. Musical heartthrobs, racy TV shows, they may grab the headlines. But true greatness is found in the Abrahams and Isaacs of history. Besides, these people are going to be remembered for eternity, long after the award winners of yesterday are forgotten. So how would you rather be remembered? For a brief moment of history by a star-struck society, or by the Lord God for your faith with rewards that will last forever? Well, that's Wednesday's entry in the Campus Journal. And if you'd like a free copy of our monthly CJ booklet for yourself or a student-age person you know, call 1-800-653-7221. I'm Brian Hedding, and I'll see you tomorrow. Hi, this is Thursday's entry in the Campus Journal, and this man has hobnobbed with presidents, he's counseled kings, he's spoken to crowds that have filled the biggest sports stadiums around the world. He has almost universal respect, and he's never backed away from the clear gospel message that we need to repent of our sins and put our faith in Jesus Christ. It's my guess that you know someone who's been influenced by this man. Now, maybe you have yourself, because thousands upon thousands of people have accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior after listening to this man preach. And you know, I would think that if anyone could feel as if he has it all together, well, Billy Graham would be that person. For decades, he's served God, spreading the gospel perhaps more than any person in history. But when Diane Sawyer interviewed him last fall on Primetime Live, he said, "I feel very inadequate." He said, "He's never felt like he's done enough." And in his final statement, he said, "When I stand before the Lord, I just want to hear one simple sentence from him. I want him to say to me, 'Well done, good and faithful servant.' I don't know if he will say it, but I hope he will." And you know, somehow it gives me hope to know that Billy Graham has a sense of inadequacy, because no matter who we are, I think we all feel at times that we should have done more. But listen, when those feelings come, and they will, try not to get down about them. Try to remember what 2 Corinthians 3:5 says, that our competence comes only from God, and that any job we do well, we do through Him. So try to remember when you're feeling inadequate that God's sufficiency covers our inadequacy. Well, thanks for listening to today's entry in the Campus Journal. For a free copy of our monthly CJ booklet, call 1-800-653-7221. That's toll-free, 1-800-653-7221. I'm Brian Hedinga, and I'll see you tomorrow. Hi, this is Friday's entry in the Campus Journal. And, you know, if I were an action hero who had to battle strong enemies, I think the script might have to be written a little bit differently than it usually is. You see, in most cases, if danger were staring me in the face, I think I'd run. Stand up to a pack of armed terrorists or ninja kickboxers or drug lords armed with machine guns. I'm sorry, but that's crazy. I'd know when I was about to get wasted, and I'd be gone. Now, of course, in our society's fantasy world, the heroes always emerge victorious. But in reality, the best strategy when confronting an insurmountable foe is to put a little distance between yourself and your opponent. And today, I'd like to talk with you about how that's especially true when that foe is sexual temptation. Now, notice how Joseph dealt with it in Genesis 39, the Bible's Old Testament. When his boss's wife made her move for him, Joseph made his, too, out the door. Now, Joseph's choice in that situation did have its bad consequences, at least right away. He was unjustly accused of initiating those advances, and he was thrown in prison. But, you know, even then, God was in control, and we can see that, because as we look at it, that imprisonment was all part of God's plan to preserve the nation of Israel. So, as I'm sure you know, sexual temptations are just as tough to battle today as they were thousands of years ago. And so, when you're in a situation like that, the safest strategy is to do just what Joseph did, to run. 1 Corinthians 6:18 says, "Flee from sexual immorality." And the best way to handle sexual temptation is to get away from it. And that's how we wrap up another week of entries in the Campus Journal. And if you'd like a copy of our printed CJ booklet, or you know someone who might, just let us know when you call 1-800-653-7221. Well, I'm Brian Heading. Have a good weekend, and I'll see you on Monday. Hi, this is Monday's entry in the Campus Journal, and today I'd like to tell you about Mandy. And if any way you can identify with Mandy, well, I hope this will help. You see, day after day, Mandy walks the campus and attends classes just like any other student. She studies hard, she laughs in the cafeteria, she argues with her roommate. But Mandy also carries a secret. It's a secret that lives inside her like an awful nightmare. Now, the monster that Mandy fights came out of her own home, from within her own family. Mandy is the victim of abuse. Sometimes the humiliation was verbal, other times it was physical, sometimes the abuse was sexual. And while she feels victimized, she also feels guilty about it, because somehow an inner voice keeps saying that it must have been her fault that this happened. So for people like Mandy, love has taken on a distorted face. Love and pain and betrayal and shame, they all look very much the same. And it's a struggle to establish and maintain healthy relationships when you really don't know what they are. But you know, I'm glad to be able to tell you that Mandy's story doesn't end there, because she met Jesus Christ. She discovered that he knew her secret and that he loved her anyway. She learned that his love builds esteem rather than destroys it. And it's through knowing him that Mandy could write this. She wrote, "Though I was abused as a child and I felt uncared for, Christ has brought me out of the pit that I was in, and now when I wake up in the morning, I have something to live for, something to look forward to." So if as you listen today, you're hurting, well, follow Mandy's lead. Turn to Christ, because he can help you deal with those secrets and make something beautiful out of your life. And that's Monday's entry in the Campus Journal. Thanks for listening today. For a free copy of our monthly CJ booklet, call 1-800-653-7221. I'm Brian Henninga, and I'll see you tomorrow. Hi, this is Tuesday's entry in the Campus Journal. And, you know, the word choice seems to be the big word these days, doesn't it? Everybody wants you to have the freedom to choose. And if you're in college, well, you know the choices are all over the place. You can choose to go to class, or you can choose to watch cartoons all day. You can choose to be active in school functions, or you can sit in your room with your headphones on if you want. You can choose to eat in the cafeteria, or you can choose to live off the candy machine. It's your choice. And, of course, there's another important choice that you have to make. You can choose to be interested in spiritual things, and go to Bible studies, live a life of purity and separation. Or you can bag the whole religious scene and live a totally worldly life. It's your choice. Now, does this choice sound familiar to you? No matter where you go to school, it's true, isn't it? You can team up with students who care about serving God, or you can team up with students who care only about fooling around. It's your choice. And so you have a choice to make. Now in the Bible, a man named Joshua told the Israelites that it was up to them to choose for themselves this day whom they were going to serve. Would you choose to hang around with those who serve God or with those who serve the gods of the world? One means genuine happiness. The other means nothing but trouble. And so how about it? Which choice is it for you? That is Tuesday's entry in the Campus Journal. Thanks for listening today. And if you'd like a free copy of our monthly CJ booklet for yourself or for someone you know that's making some important choices and they need to be pointed to the perspective the Bible offers, well, just let us know and we'll send it out free of charge. You can call toll-free 1-800-653-7221. That's toll-free 1-800-653-7221. Well, I'm Brian Heddinga, and I'll see you tomorrow. Hi, this is Wednesday's entry in the Campus Journal. And have you ever heard of an angel giving a life-saving one-armed bear hug? Well, according to Jerry Jenkins, editor and writer for Moody Magazine, this kind of supernatural save once happened to him. You see, when he was a kid, Jerry enjoyed playing tag in the church parking lot after the Sunday night service. After the closing prayer, his pew to parked car's dash took only a few seconds. Well, one Sunday night, Jenkins heard the final amen, and he bolted from his seat, flew out the church's front door. Into the darkness he ran, relishing the thought that this week he was going to be the first kid on the lot. But suddenly, his fast-forward progress stopped abruptly as he felt an iron-tight grip around his waist. And as he turned around to see who had nabbed him, fully expecting to be chastised by an adult for speeding out of church, he gasped, because there was no one there. And it was only then that he noticed that his feet were perched right on the edge of a 10-foot-deep hole with concrete blocks at the bottom. You see, in his haste, little Jerry had forgotten that, well, the church parking lot had been torn up. The church was putting in the foundation for a new sanctuary. Now, over the years, Jenkins has become convinced that he was saved by a guardian angel on that special Sunday night. You know, I think I'm inclined to agree. The Bible says in Psalm 91 that God's angels will guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands. You see, God loves us. And I think it's great to know that as we go through our day today, we don't walk alone. God's angels are just a step away. Well, something to think about in our Wednesday entry in the Campus Journal. And if you'd like a free copy of our monthly CJ booklet, all you have to do is request one when you call toll-free 1-800-653-7221. Well, thanks for listening today. I'm Brian Hettinger, and I'll see you tomorrow. Hi, this is Thursday's entry in the Campus Journal, and imagine this is your situation, okay? Your best friend's dad is a dentist, and so she has a cushy job in his office all lined up for the summer. And when it comes to guys, well, she has to use an appointment calendar to keep track of all her dates. And then there's your sister. She's not only a national merit finalist, but she's also first chair clarinet and a member of the tennis team that brought home the state championship last year, okay? And then there's you. You bump along, struggling to maintain a mediocre GPA. You settle for a minimum wage job at a fast food place, and you're really hoping that Mr. Wright will someday wake up and smell the roses. Well, how about it? Does that sound a lot more like your real life situation than you'd like to admit? Well, the point I'd like to make today is that whether good things happen to our friends or bad things happen to us, the most natural and the most dangerous thing we can do is to look around at others and start comparing our circumstances with theirs. See, that sounds a lot like what Peter, one of Jesus' close friends when he was here on earth, did. Now, he looked at another disciple named John, and he said, "Hey, but what about him?" But Jesus said to Peter words that we all need to hear when we start comparing ourselves to others. Jesus said, "What is that to you? You must follow me." You see, Peter had to learn to mind his own business. So just remember, God has a plan for your friends, and he has a plan for you. While the destination may sometimes not be very clear, God's directions to that destination are always the same. Follow me. And that important reminder is the Thursday entry in the Campus Journal. For a free copy of our monthly CJ booklet, call toll-free 1-800-653-7221. I'm Brian Hedding, and I'll see you tomorrow. Hi, this is Friday's entry in the Campus Journal, and today I'd like you to think about this statement, okay? Our integrity is tested by what we do when nobody's looking. You agree with that? Well, let me illustrate. Golfer Raymond Floyd was about to tap in a fairly routine 9-inch putt when he accidentally touched the ball with his putter. Now, according to the rules, if the ball moves at all, it's a stroke. And yet, consider the situation. Now, Floyd was among the leaders in this tournament with a top prize of well over $100,000. And that stroke could cost him a lot of money. Well, listen to how writer David Holohan describes what he could have done. He could have stepped back from the ball and kind of rubbed at his eye for a phantom speck of dust, while at the same time scanning his playing partners in the gallery for any sign that the ball's movement had been detected by someone else. And if no one had noticed, if the coast was clear, well, then just tap the ball in for a par. But Raymond Floyd didn't do that. He counted that extra stroke, and he wound up with a bogey. So let me ask you something. Are we as sensitive to doing what's right? Are we as intent on being true to God, even when no one else would know if we took some money from our roommate, or that we cheated on the exam, or that we copied a paragraph of our essay out of a book? You see, in the Bible, Job had the right perspective on this when he asked, doesn't God see my ways and count my every step? It's Job 31:4. You see, we can't hide things from God. remember, whatever we do, God is in the audience, and pleasing Him is what really matters. Well, that's how we wrap up another week of entries in the Campus Journal. Thanks for listening today, and if you'd like a free copy of our monthly CJ booklet, just let us know when you call toll-free 1-800-653-7221. I'm Brian Henning. Have a good weekend, and I'll see you on Monday.